in Romans chapter 3, and it's at the end of verse 22. There is no difference. There's no difference between any of Adam's fallen race because we're all sinners. That's what we all have in common. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your status in life, your rank in society. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor or find yourself somewhere in between. It doesn't matter what your education level is. You may have a college education. You may not even have a high school education. I don't know. But as far as being in our natural condition is concerned, there is no difference. That's what we all have in common. We're sinful people. There's no difference in our alienation from our God. There's no difference in our guilt. All have sinned, is what he says in verse 23. All have sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. And so there is no difference. There is no difference. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. He has this to say in Romans chapter 10 about this no difference. No difference. In verse 11 it says, Romans 10, 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference, there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. All have sinned. We're all guilty. We're all separated from God due to the mountain of our guilt. There is no difference between Jew and Greek. It doesn't matter which group you fall into. And then it says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what your race is. There's no difference in us by nature, and all who call upon the Lord, all who worship him in spirit and in truth, all who worship God, who draw near to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, God says he'll save them. There's no difference. But now I want you to go back to the book of Exodus. Go back to Exodus chapter 11. There is no difference by nature. There is no difference by nature. But there is a difference that grace makes. There is a difference that God has made. And so the title of the message tonight is The Difference God Makes. The Difference God Makes. In Adam, there's no difference. Adam was the representative of all of his race. And there's no difference in our guilt level before God. You say, well, I'm not as big a sinner as somebody else is. We're all sinners before God. And there is no difference. No difference between nationalities as far as a Jew or a Gentile or an American or a Mexican or whatever nationality you might happen to be, there's no difference in our guilt before God. Naturally, no difference. But by grace, there is a difference. And it's a difference God has made. And here in Exodus chapter 11, and we're drawing now right to the last of the plagues that God is going to send upon the Egyptians. This is going to be the heaviest blow of them all. It's going to fall upon this hard-hearted monarch and upon his people, and then he will be willing to release his captives. But it says in verse 7 of chapter 11 of Exodus, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, by nature, there is no difference. But God in His goodness, God in His mercy, God in His sovereign right to do as He pleases with all of His creation, God has put a difference between His people and those whom He calls in other places the rest. He has made a difference. Not all people will be able to sit under the gospel. He sends the truth where He will. And not all people who sit under the gospel will be brought by the Holy Spirit to new life in Christ Jesus as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they will believe the gospel of God's grace. I ask you, what is the reason that some believe the gospel and others don't? You have perhaps the same intellectual abilities. You can read, you can write, you have been given mental abilities by God, and yet some people believe the gospel of the grace of God and see Christ Jesus as the only Savior of sinners, the very Savior that you need, and you flee to Him out of a neediness in your heart. You need His blood to wash away your sins. You need His righteousness to make you accepted, justified before God. Some believe, but others who sit under the gospel don't ever believe the gospel. I ask you, who makes the difference? Is it the sinner? Or is it the Lord? And the answer is, it's God who makes the difference. It's the Lord who makes the difference. We have before us, and He's been set before us here for several chapters, a ruthless monarch. He's Pharaoh. And he's so hard-hearted against God. He's a very cruel man who has caused the Israelites to labor in harsh conditions because he hates Israel and he hates the God of Israel, whom he does not know. But his heart is hardened. And I want you to go back to chapter 4, and I'll tell you why his heart is hardened. In chapter 4, Moses has not even got to Egypt as of yet. Okay, he's traveling from the backside of the desert. He's coming toward Egypt. And the Lord speaks to him. He's already seen the bush that burned with fire and wasn't consumed. He's seen Christ's day. He's talked to Christ. The Son of God spoke to him out of that burning bush, gave him a mission. You're going to lead my people to deliverance out of captivity. The Lord tells Moses that his name is I Am That I Am. That's who's going to tell Israel. I Am That I Am has sent me. That's what Moses is to say to Israel. So Moses takes his wife and his two little boys, and they begin to journey toward Egypt. And as they go along, notice in chapter 4, verse 20. You there? And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. You remember, 40 years before this, he left Egypt. He's been on the backside of the desert for 40 years, learning how to be a shepherd not only a shepherd of four-legged sheep, but a shepherd of two-legged sheep, that is the Lord's people. So he's going to return to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, he says, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. This is before he ever gets to Egypt. This is before he ever says anything to Pharaoh. Pharaoh has no idea that God has raised up a deliverer, a man who grew up in the household of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter having raised him. He has no concept of the fact that this man's going to come back and lead Israel out of captivity. But before all of that leading them out of captivity comes to pass, Moses is informed by the Lord, lest he be discouraged. Here's what God says. I want you to know, I'm going to harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. Now you go forth with my message, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. But Moses, as you journey toward Egypt, I want you to know this so that you won't be disheartened or upset by his refusal to do the command that I'm issuing to you to give to him. Let my people go. He's not going to let my people go. And the reason he's not going to let my people go is because I'm going to harden his heart that he won't let them go. Most people don't know about this. This is the God who does as he pleases. Verse 22 says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill, slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Let my people go. But before Moses says, let my people go, the Lord says to Moses, know this, he's not going to let him go because I'm going to harden his heart. Now, I would ask you this, kind of think about this a little bit. Could the Lord have softened Pharaoh's heart if it had been his will to do that? Well, sure he could have. Or could the Lord have not hardened Pharaoh's heart? Could have done that. But the Lord, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. See, there are a lot of people who say, well, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Well, he did a little later, but who hardened his heart first? God did. What was the reason for that? We know that God could have softened his heart, but he didn't. Let me tell you something. If you're a believer tonight, he softened your heart. And I've got news for you. Your heart, or Pharaoh's heart, was no harder than your heart by nature. Right? Because we're all hard-hearted. We're all alienated from God. There's no difference, remember? There's no difference by nature. We're all sinful. We're all separated from God. We all have a hard heart. so that we read one of the prophets says you have a hard heart, a heart of stone. Now, to some people, God takes away the heart of stone and he gives a heart of flesh. But to other people, he leaves their heart of stone right where it is and doesn't fool with it. What does God have to do to harden a man's heart? Well, one thing, leave him alone. Never send the light of the gospel to his heart. Never do a work of grace in his heart. But also, there are cases, and such is the case with Pharaoh, that God deliberately, willfully, he hardened his heart. And even though the command to him was, "Let my people go," a command which he was responsible to obey. You agree with that? He was responsible to obey that command. But it was a command that he would not obey because God hardened his heart that he wouldn't. Why would God do that? Well, broadly speaking, to serve his own purpose. But you see, the Lord has this end in view. He's going to liberate Israel. He's going to deliver Israel from captivity by the bloody sacrifice of a lamb. So Pharaoh is not going to release Israel, not after the first plague, which is the plague of turning the River Nile into blood. He's not going to let them go, or the frogs, or the lice, and just keep on going down the line. And Pharaoh, I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to let them go. Well, what's going to finally break his back, so to speak? It's what God was aiming toward to begin with, the revelation that the way of salvation, the way of everlasting life, is by the death of a suitable substitute, one who's acceptable to God, the Passover lamb. And so God arranges things so that there's no way Pharaoh is going to let them go until God sends the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And if you go back here to chapter 11, the Lord says to Moses in chapter 11 in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh." And I'll really get into that next Wednesday. One more plague. That's what God tells Moses. One more plague. Well, Lord, why didn't you bring this first plague to pass right at the beginning? Well, it didn't please him to do that. We're going to find out just how hard-hearted Pharaoh is and what it means for God to harden somebody's heart. And my friend, all of you here tonight, and those of you who are watching, ask God to give you a softened heart. And he's the only one who can do that, because he's the one who makes the difference. Your heart would still be hard were it not for the sovereign grace of God, and for the fact that God puts you in a position to, number one, hear the gospel of the salvation of God to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ and his substitutionary sacrifice. God didn't have to do that for you. Didn't have to do that for me. He could have left me where he found me. But he made a difference. So that's what if the Spirit of God would just drill this into your mind and into your heart. It's God who makes the difference. It's not man's free will that makes the difference. It's not man's decision that makes the difference. It's not man's obedience, even to believe the gospel, that makes the difference. It's God who makes the difference. It's God who gives spiritual life. Go all the way back. It's God who chose us unto salvation. It's God who redeemed us by the bloody death of his Son. It's God who makes the difference in sending the Spirit through the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses that truth, God the Spirit does, to work mysteriously and miraculously in the heart, to where he gives life and all of a sudden a miracle takes place and we become different. We have a different attitude toward God. And that unbelief that we naturally had suddenly becomes belief. And he gives a desire and a love to hear of the Son of God and his sacrifice. Now, to some people, the issue in all of this, the Lord sending Moses before Pharaoh, to some people, the issue in all of this was the release of the Israelites. Well, that was really a secondary issue. Though it was an important issue. The main issue, and you do well to remember this, and I'm sure you all know this for certain, the main issue in all of this is the glory of God. That's the main issue. You know, the works of God fall into three categories: creation, providence, and grace. Or creation, providence, and salvation, you could put it that way. Creation. Creation, it does have a glory and a beauty, but really, creation is all about the glory of God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. One writer said creation, the book of creation, has three pages: heaven, earth, and sea. And all three pages give God the glory. The second category is what we call providence. And I can give you a verse on that. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Providence is God directing everything to the end that he purposed before the world ever began. And everything that comes to pass, the ultimate purpose is the glory of God. In everything that happens, doesn't matter what it is, providence, as is evident in God hardening the heart of Pharaoh. You see, there's a man, a natural man, over whom God gets the glory in doing with him what he will. Before the world began, the Lord ordained that this Pharaoh be born. God ordained to leave him in his sinfulness, in his wickedness, in his arrogance, in his rebellion, God ordained to harden his heart. And finally, God ordained that in the end of this man's life, he'd bury him beneath the waves of the Red Sea. Let me show you this. Let me see if I can find this verse. Go over to chapter 14 of Exodus. Chapter 14, I wrote the reference down here if I can find it. Well, can't put my thing. Oh, here it is. Chapter 14, verse 8, okay? Israel's gone, and Pharaoh is now, he's summoned his army together, and he's in mad pursuit. But what led to that? Look at verse 8, and this is the last time it talks about his heart being hardened. 14:8, you there? And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. You see, God started all of this by hardening Pharaoh's heart, and God's going to end it all by hardening his heart one more time. And Pharaoh says, I'm going after them slaves. I'm going to get them back. Well, who did this? And really, here's the difference that God made again. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he didn't harden Moses' heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he didn't harden Aaron's heart. And he still hardens the heart of people all over the world, but he didn't harden your heart. Each of us who love the gospel, we're full proof that the Lord makes a difference. He makes a difference. Lord, don't harden my heart. Don't harden my heart. Don't abandon me. You see, God purposed to just leave Pharaoh alone. Just leave him alone. Do nothing for him except keep him alive to the day when God's going to kill him and send him to hell. You say, Jim, what kind of God is this? This is the God you got to know. You see this difference? It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between salvation and condemnation. It's the difference between light and darkness. And really, it's the difference between heaven and hell. And you better come to grips with this. It's the Lord who makes the difference. Let me give you one more verse, and I'll close. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Now I know in religion, people make professions of faith and then they become outwardly different. Maybe they give up their drunkenness for sobriety. Maybe they give up their drugs to walk straight and narrow, so to speak. Man can make an outward difference. And I've heard people say, you know, I can pretty much tell who's saved and who isn't by their outward life. Well, you don't have any idea what's going on. Because there are a lot of people who are moral, decent, upright, as far as we're concerned. They won't have outwardly bad habits. You see, the difference, it may or may not be seen outwardly depending upon what a man's habits are. But the difference is made within and then manifested in a person has a new motive, and that's the glory of God. And he has a new view of God. God's to be worshiped and feared. And he has a new outlook of life. The Lord governs all things that happen to me. And the biggest difference is he looks to Christ for everything. Are you different? Well, who maketh thee to differ from another? And like it says here, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why do you glory as if thou hadst not received it? It's God who makes the difference. And he will do with you as he will. And let us fall humbly before him and say, Lord, you could leave me just as I am. But I pray, break my heart, give me life, and enable me to look to Christ Jesus, that Lamb of God, who shed his blood to put away the sins of his people. It's the Lord who makes the difference, indeed. Well, let's sing a closing song.